Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal. If you listen to the most recent episode of our podcast, you'll know that we went back to the beginning to re-listen to my very first interview and episode of Small Town Podcast. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, I encourage you to go back and listen to that one first before you continue with this episode. The man we interviewed talked so much, but was so entertaining, that we divided his interview into two parts for the podcast. So I hope you'll enjoy listening to part two of my very first interview for Small Town Podcast with the former mayor of Willacoochee, Georgia, and the current county commission chairman of Atkinson County, Mr. Lace Futch. Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and this is episode two of Small Town Podcast. Well, if you listened to our last episode, you've already been introduced to our guest and his beloved small town. So today we continue our conversation with Lace Futch in the small town of Willacoochee, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. But life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Our nation is going through an incredible transition right now. There's a mass migration to small towns and rural communities. People are seeking out vibrant communities with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, low cost of living, and strong local economies. If that sounds like something you would like to find, then I invite you to discover the city of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Mayor, if we could, I definitely wanted to hear more about the things you did and some of, I guess I'll call the adventures you had as the mayor, things you did for Willacoochee. And then, of course, I definitely want to get into your involvement with the Georgia Municipal Association. As we mentioned before, you were the president of the association at some point. But let's talk about your great city of Willacoochee for a
bit. Well, again, Matt, I love my little town. Like I said, I was born and raised here. I ran from them, was elected mayor in 1978. And as I said, the only place to work in Willacoochee was McCraney Brothers. If you didn't work at McCraney Brothers, you had to drive out of town. McCraney Brothers were great people that, I worked for them a little while. But I said when I was elected mayor that I'm going to do something about the jobs in Willacoochee. Well, and to go ahead and tell you up front, there's more jobs in Willacoochee today than there is population.
And what's the current population today?
Probably about 1,300, 1,400, and there's probably 1,500 jobs in Willacoochee.
All right.
But anyhow, going back to that, the first industry I located was a little industry called Pack Unlimited, and it's down on the back road going toward the school, and they were out of Atlanta, and they stayed there for a long time. And I actually drove a truck and delivered some of their goods to down in Florida. They work primarily with the florist industry down there, the shade cloth and stuff. But I done that. And then the next industry, I think, that I located was I've done so many.
Well, you can get them out of more.
Let me think. Oh, yeah, the boat factory. It's Freedom Trailers today, but it was for a couple of times, a couple of boat factories was there. And not any of that worked, but I got a grant while Jim Higdon was executive director of DCA for $200,000. And then we had a guy here, Joe Ivy Kirkland, that was building boats in an old store up in Willacoochee, and then having to roll them through the sand back to an old building that was used a long time ago as a mule barn, where you used to have mules for the farmers, and that was a mule barn that the guy bought and sold mules to the farmers. But anyhow, Jim Higdon seen that, and I never will forget Joe Ivy's little daughter, I can't think of her name, had in a Coca-Cola bottle these old bitter weeds with the flowers on them. Mm-hmm. She had picked some of them and brought them and give them to Jim. He was happy to get those. But he went back to Atlanta, and at that time Reagan was in. I think they had created a impact grant, I think he called it. And he sent us, we applied for it, and he sent us $200,000. And I built a building right over there. It's still there today, 30,000 square feet, for Joe Ivy Kirkland to build boats in. And they did. And Joe Ivy was not a good manager, but now he runs Carolina Skiff out of Waycross. And I know you've seen the Carolina Skiff boats. They're all over the world, really. He's done great with that. But after we built the building, they started manufacturing the boats. They called them start with Coochie Craft. and they still some of them around. Joe Ivy wasn't a good manager at that time, and he sold out to his brother, A.L. Kirkland, who owned Glassstream boats. I know you've probably heard of Glassstream. And A.L. was a Wheeler dealer, and I've always thought that he burnt these buildings, that one over there, right over there, right to that big one right there. That resin and stuff that you got, you can put some mix of stuff with it, and 2-3 hours it'll ignite into a fire.
Oh, goodness.
So I think probably he had that done to this building over here. And Lawton McMillan, who was a good friend of mine, was night watching over there, and Lawton really put the fire out. Damaged his lungs while he was doing that, but he put the fire out. But next, they set a fire in this building right over here, right in front of us.
So there was some fires in Willacoochee.
It did burn down just about completely, and the roof folded in and the walls. But anyhow, we had insurance, and I had loaned money to AL, and we have what you call a revolving loan fund in Willacoochee, and you may have one in Osceola.
We have one in Osceola.
All right. I think I helped create that.
Well, appreciate that.
But anyhow, we got probably over $1 million, Matt, in revolving loan fund money that was granted through DCA. But after the building burnt, AL, we were mailed a check from the insurance company for about $700,000. It had the city of Willacoochee on it, primary. Then it had the bank that AL had borrowed money from, and then it had Glassstream boats on it. Well, AL sent his auditor guy or financial guy over here from Tifton for me to endorse the check. And I said, no, I'm not going to endorse a check. And he just stepped back, just amazed him or astounded him. And well, I said, no, I'm not going to sign the check. He says, why? I said, our building's not there. I said, that's our collateral. I said, once he puts the building back, I'll sign the check.
That's right.
Okay. So we rocked on there for 2-3 months. AL said, I shouldn't have never built nothing in this one horse town, blah, blah, blah. All of that. He just had a cussing fit. But we rocked on there.
Built the building back.
We were out talking about 3 months, and he sent folks over here from Adel, and they put the building back. Once they got just about through the roof completely on it, I had signed the check. Because I knew, we had most of our collateral back.
Right.
They went ahead and finished the building, though, and we finally got all of our money out of Glassstream boats, and then we had another boat company, Aquatron, Jim Taylor. Jim lived over in Adel, and Jim was a crook. He was trained by AL, too. He was a Wheeler dealer, too. And the only money we've ever lost in our revolving loan fund was to Jim Taylor and his boat factory. $6,500 we loaned him, and because he wanted to build another mold or something, you know. But he didn't do that. He went straight to the country club in Adel and bought everybody drinks and all that kind of stuff.
If that's the only one you lost out of $1 million.
That's a great experience, I think, and that's all we have lost. And we got probably $360,000 in there right now. But Hal Baxley, who owns Freedom Trailers over here, is committed to borrow that money to build another building back there.
Okay.
So we're going to loan Hal that money at 3% interest to build that building back.
Now, I'll tell you what, for listeners that may have never heard of a revolving loan fund, you know, you and I as mayors, we're familiar with some of these.
We are familiar with it.
Explain what that is to someone that
may not. Well, a revolving loan fund is something that's created through Department of Community Affairs. It's HUD money. Mm-hmm. It's your tax money. It's not belong to the city or the county or DCA. It's your tax money, and we're responsible for it. Well, what you do is if you have an industry or somebody wants to locate in your town or your county, you can use that revolving loan fund as come-on money, I guess you could say. And the interest rate on that's 3%, which I think is a great interest rate. We use it to create jobs, and we've loaned a lot of money. So
that comes from DCA. It comes to, in this case, the city of Willacoochee.
City of Willacoochee is granted to a grant.
And that's for a specific project.
Right, through an application, mm-hmm. and it's funded.
And then the company that borrows the money through that pays it back.
At 3% interest. And
gets to loan it out again.
We've got over $1 million in our revolving loan fund.
And so you've been able to use the same funds for who knows how many businesses through that program.
Right. The next one I worked on was probably the biggest one that we have is Langboard.
You've talked about that one before.
Johnny Langdale and I became great friends, and Johnny now is president of Langdale Industries, which involves stuff worldwide. They're the biggest single family landowner east of the Mississippi River with probably 600,000 acres of property that they own. You know, and they deal primarily in the wood business. Johnny and I talked for a long time, and he called me and said, "Lace, I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." So we got together, and we talked about it. He says, "I want to build a fiberboard factory in Willacoochee." And he says, "I want to buy a factory that does this out in Las Vegas, New Mexico." I never did know, but one Las Vegas, that's in Nevada.
That's what I was thinking when you said Las Vegas, New Mexico.
This is Las Vegas, New Mexico. All right. And Johnny and myself and Mike Adams, who's a plant manager down there in that Langboard, flew to New Mexico to Albuquerque. We flew to Albuquerque and then rented a car and drove to Las Vegas, New Mexico, and stayed in an old hotel that was a bar. It had been there since the 1875 or 1880, something like that. Some of the outlaws had been in there to drink and all. But anyway, we stayed there, and we went and looked at the factory. Johnny decided to buy it and had it moved, trucked most of it. We were going to try to send it on rail, but I don't think that worked out too much. But he trucked most of it to Willacoochee and built that factory down there. And you're probably looking at $100 million right there.
Wow.
If not more. Probably more than that now. He built that first, the board plant. Then next he built the molding plant where you make the crown molding, floor molding, all kind of molding for the building industry, including the mobile home industry. They make stuff for the mobile home industry too. That was the next one that I worked on. And the next one was a good friend of mine named Quincy McMillan. Oh, let me go back to Johnny Langdale a minute.
Go ahead.
Fortunately, I talked to Johnny and I asked him, I said, "Johnny, I helped him a lot, the city of Willacoochee did. I said, "Johnny, would you consider giving the Willacoochee maybe 50 acres from the industrial park?" He thought about it in a minute. You know, I've always heard the Langdale won't give you nothing.
You're about to test that.
Yeah, I did. And Johnny said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll do that." So on the Springhead Road, we'll go out that way in a minute. On the right, he deeded this little city 63 acres of property.
Wow. So more than the 50 you were asking
for.
Yeah.
Not for nothing. I mean, not even a dollar, nothing.
Yeah, just donated it.
Donated it. Then I located Quincy McMillan, and I gave Quincy. Quincy was over in Nashville, and he was in the industrial park, and Nashville wanted to call him, charge him about $36,000 just to run a water and sewer line to him. He said, no, I ain't going to do that. So he moved to Willacoochee, built him a building, and they blowing the doors off. They got a what I call the grass plant in Pearson, where they make this grass mat to go on the side of the roadways for construction of the roads. Quincy's done good, but bless his heart, Quincy died here about, him and Jay Shaw died about 1 week apart, I think. But Quincy was a great fella. He loved Willacoochee. He was raised right out here towards the Life Hall on a farm. But he was a good businessman, and his son today is still running the industry, and his name is Quentin. Quincy was named Quincy, and his son named Quentin. But Quentin is just as nice to the city and everybody as his daddy was.
Now, let me ask you something. You've said this a couple of times so far. You went to go locate a business and then bring them to Willacoochee. So describe for someone that doesn't know how that works or what that means. It's easy to say, well, I went and located a business, and then I brought them, and now there's 100 jobs. What all did you do to bring those things to Willacoochee, and now you're doing it for the entire county? So you just talked about one that's in Pearson.
But what all was involved in that? First of all, I'd go talk to them and tell them the amenities we had here in Willacoochee, tell them what a great town we had. It wasn't easy, Matt. I mean, them,
well, that's
they
why
would,
I wanted you to describe
they
it.
A lot of them would struggle, and Quincy did too. He said, Willacoochee, says, I don't know whether I want to go there or not. You know, said, that's a little town. I said, no, it's just all that's in your mind.
That's right.
A little town. He said, I don't know that I can get the people to come to the jobs. I said, Quincy, if you have a job, somebody's going to come to it. And a good proof of that is right across the street over there at Live Oak Mobile Homes. They got about every one of the employees drives to work over there, and they got probably 200 jobs over there.
So far, what's your biggest employer? Langboard?
Probably Langboard.
Okay, and how many do they have?
I'd say probably 300, including them and the molding plant.
Mm-hmm.
They probably got 300 employees. And they pay a good wage. They got good benefits, which is good. That's why. And when you get a job with somebody, you certainly need to look at that. Most of them don't offer dental insurance. You know, you got to buy that on your own, but they offer a lot of benefits, Langboard does. And most of my other industry does, too. Hal Baxley over here at Freedom Trailers, he's got some good benefits, and he pays his folks well. They do a good job over there. But I located Langboard, and they went on. They bought some property out here on the Springhead Road, and it's nothing. Wasn't nothing but a sand ridge out there. They cleared it off. His son, Wesley, who's now doing what Johnny done when I talked with Johnny to locate the factory here. I met Wester. He's on a bulldozer out there clearing land to build the new building. But it took him about a year or longer to put that thing up. And you need to tour that thing sometimes, Matt. It's amazing how they do that.
Well, you can take me out there. We'll go.
Well, we will. We won't do it today, but we'll go sometime when you have the time, and I do, and we'll tour it and walk through it. It's amazing how they make that board and make it out of those chips. The pit they got, they dug it 40 foot deep to put the base, you know, for the press. They got a press where they press that board, and you'll see it. But they had to stabilize that thing, so they dug the pit 40 foot deep, and that was some of the clearest, coldest water you have ever seen that came out of that pit. And they pumped it out and run it over in a hole there, and then it ran to the river. It was great, clean water.
You have a unique position because you were the mayor through the 80s.
Yeah.
And then were gone for a while, and then you came back to being the mayor in 2009, you said, 2010?
Yeah.
So you got to kind of put some of those, like you're saying, 10-year plans in place, then step back and come back.
Yeah.
You know, when I came later.
When I came back, I located Freedom Trailer over here. How was that old warehouse building in Pearson?
Were you seeing some of the things that you had done the first time you were the mayor? They had already paid off, and so things were better revenue-wise for the city
and
for your job situation and everything.
When Hal bought this old boat factory property over here, it was probably it cost over $1 million to put that there today. It ain't nothing what it costs now since you got all these other buildings. But we loaned Hal $300,000 to come and put that over there at 3% interest, like I said. And we ran him through the development authority. But I think now that time's up and he's paying taxes now. And we've done the same thing for Lane Board. And the railroad, Willacoochee was the only town in Georgia, I think, that owned its own railroad.
Now explain that, because that's well, you mentioned that.
Well,
before,
you know, you got the St. Mary's Railroad over in St. Mary's, but it's owned by an individual.
All right.
What we done for Langdale is we bought the railroad for $1 on paper. Langdale turned around and leased it back to the city of Willacoochee for $1 through our development authority. That way you don't pay no taxes on it, because it's a governmental entity and you don't have to pay tax.
So that you got it from the railroad company?
No, Johnny bought it from the railroad company, bought it from Southern. But Johnny was able to save this one from Nashville to Willacoochee, which goes on into Valdosta and goes on out to Langdale Sawmill out there. And we get a lot of chips from their sawmill, or Willacoochee does. We're in the middle of now trying to pave that Springhead Road, you know, on the special purpose sales, transportation sales tax. And I hope that passes, because we'll be able to do a lot of things with that as far as maintaining our streets and improving our streets and even building new roads. I think Willacoochee's part of that, according to population, will be right at 7 million in 10 years. But, you know, keep in mind, Lowndes County will get the biggest share because they got the largest population. And again, I think the fairest way to do it is based on population. That's the way we do our local option sales tax, special purpose sales tax. We do it based on population. You know, but again, I go back to Willacoochee. Willacoochee got most of the industry in Atkinson County here in Willacoochee. But a lot of folks from Pearson drive to Willacoochee to work. Used to be the other way around a long time ago. And a lot of people from Douglas now drive to Willacoochee to work. And you used to meet a lot of cars going to Douglas for people to work. But today, you meet a lot of cars coming from Douglas to Willacoochee to work. And I love that. You know, I love that. That's been one of my goals all these years, is to create enough jobs where people can stay here and live in Willacoochee.
Let me jump back a bit, because I think I remember when we were talking and setting up this interview, you mentioned the railroad. But there's a story you started to tell me. There's a caboose that's right along the highway in Willacoochee.
Yeah.
And it's on some actual rail line. And I asked you, now, how did you get that?
That was not a long story, but like I say about national television, when they were taking up the railroad or abandoning the railroad from Waycross all the way to Albany, I think. I raised so much sand with the press and television and all that. The folks from CSX came out of Jacksonville. That's where their headquarters here in South. They came out of Jacksonville and met with me in my mayor's office in Willacoochee, a little old bitty office, not even this big, about half this big. And they had a time finding somewhere to sit, but some of them stood up, but. And they asked me, says, Mr. Futz, says, what would it take for you to hush? I said, well, you know, I know y'all are going to abandon
it. You're being too loud, huh?
Yeah, I said, what I want a caboose. I want all the cross ties in the city limit. I want all the ballast, which is the rocks, in the city limits. I want you to leave me 400 foot of rail for the caboose. And I said, I want you to deed all of the property that CSX owns from city limit to city limit. You know what they said?
Well, by the looks of the caboose, I'd say they said yes.
You got it. So they did. They deeded all of that land to the city of Willacoochee. And I'm responsible for that land being deeded to the city of Coochie. I'm primarily responsible for that. But they've used that. Willacoochee Industrial Fabrics over here has got a building located right where the train used to run through there.
I was going to ask where, if you, you know, you acquired the land, obviously it's narrow, but then of course you got the right of way.
100 foot either way from the center of the railroad.
So you've got industry
200
now
feet.
Housed right where the railroad
200
was.
Feet. My nephew's car lot down there is sitting right where the train used to run through.
Okay.
And, we built the walk track. You've seen our walk track here. I had the money for that walk track before I left, you know, to go to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And also the library. I wanted the library to kind of resemble a depot.
Okay.
And it
does. It's right next to the caboose. So,
it's right next to the caboose. And, of course, the that building houses our library, but I wanted it to look like a depot. And it breaks my heart every time I think about our old depot building being torn down and sold for $1,500, you know. But they did have a little spot of land left there where the what we call the city park, right where our dentist, I mean our doctor's office is today, John Rowe, that belongs to the city. And I don't know whether or not they finally sold that to the doctor or not. But anyhow, there used to be a huge pool there with concrete, water in it. And but young had to break bottles and throw bottles in there and trash. Mm-hmm. And we finally covered it up. And then the first thing we had there was a dentist. He stayed a while and then he left. And then we located John Rowe, who is not a doctor. He's a PA, physician assistant. And wherever I go, you know, that's who's your doctor. I said, John Rowe. And really, he is. I don't care if he's a PA or what, but he's, you know, that sometimes they're better than the doctor because they'll sit down and talk to you about your ailments or whatever, you know. John's done us a great job being with Willacoochee, and he's open till lunchtime today. He closed at 12, but most of the time you go by his office and he just covered up with cars, you know. It's, but I'm proud of what he does for our little town.
Now, as you might have guessed, I love small towns and the laid-back lifestyle they offer. But you know who else loves small-town living? The ladies at the Southern Mercantile. The Southern Mercantile is an online store promoting Southern style and Southern traditions, or at least the good ones. Their blog highlights small-town living at its best with stories of the joys and sometimes the struggles of living in a community where everybody knows everybody. Whether you live in a small town or a big city, you can enjoy being a part of the Southern Mercantile online community. Check out their website at southernmercantile.com to shop, to read the blog, or to get recipes for your home. See the market schedule to see when the Southern Merc girls might be at a market near you anywhere in the southeastern United States. Erwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Erwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Erwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Erwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Erwinomics, helping small town business thrive. I've heard several in some of our meetings, things you've done in Willacoochee, or I guess I'll call them adventures, or maybe others would call them misadventures from your time, like with the railroad, building the library. What are some other things? And I guess we should really get to the famous, world famous No Name Bar.
Yeah, that's a good story. I bought that. Actually, Johnny Langdale and my friend Charlie Bray, who's been my banker for years up here at the People's Bank, myself, Johnny Langdale, and Charlie closed the deal on the Langboard Factory in the No Name Bar.
I think
that's kind of historic, you know. That's kind of a historic thing. But Johnny agreed, and we all shook hands.
And that's right when it happened.
That's when it happened. Right,
that was when the No Name Bar was already famous.
And that was
even more famous.
Yeah, Louis Goddard, who you see Louis up yonder on the top left up there. That's Louis on the left, and me on the right. That was at our old city hall.
Okay.
Lewis came to visit with me a half a dozen times. He loved Willacoochee. And when he first come, he sponsored a contest, you know, because Willacoochee won the best country bar juke joint in Georgia, in rural Georgia, in rural Georgia. He came and he said he would pay for all of the boiled peanuts that they could eat, you know. Oh, Viner's, the hot sausage they got, you know, usually got them at the bar. And Lewis, he committed to pay for
all. No-name bar got listed as
the best beer joint, best country beer joint in Georgia.
In the whole state.
In the whole state.
So Lewis Cazar came down, bought everybody boiled peanuts and spiced sausage.
Right, and he paid for it. I think it bills maybe $100 or something. But Lewis didn't care.
Not high dollar.
Not for Lewis it wasn't. But a lot of people came to we called it the reopening of the No-Name Bar.
And how did it get started back in the first opening?
Well, Carl Willis and Charles Ladson, who I got an article on them in there, they built it, the first one.
Year was that?
Probably in 1959, 1958, something like that. The block building to start with, and it stayed there for a long time.
And what did they call it? Did they just not come up with
a name? No, they called it Carl's Beer Joint, I think.
All right, so it did have a name in the beginning.
It did, yeah. But it was changed. But anyhow, the old bar, when it would rain, the water off of 82 would run down and run completely through the bar. I've seen water that deep in the bar. I've seen them put down Coca-Cola crates and walk around the pool table to shoot food. You know, and that wasn't good. But I bought the bar in 1991.
What was it called when you bought it?
Carl's? It was James Henry Lewis. It was called James Henry's Place, I think.
Okay.
James
Henry Lewis. Changed names a couple of times. Then
a Fender guy out of Lakeland bought it and run it for a while. And then I approached him about buying it, and he said, yeah. I said, I'll sell it to you. I'll let you have $15,000. So I went to Charlie, and Charlie loaned me the money, and I paid for that thing by the month, you know, until I finally got it paid for. I decided that I needed to build a new building. You know, the old block building wasn't serviceable. You know, it wasn't. I know a lot of history in it and all that, and I realize that. But I got the guys from the city to take their backhoe and front end loader and push it down. We hauled a lot of it off. And then I built the new metal building. But I bought it in 1991.
So what's standing now is what you had built in the
right.
Early 90s. But that was after you were not the mayor at the time.
I think I was.
Oh, you still were the mayor. Okay.
I think I was, yeah. But anyhow, that's a great bar. And then I finally decided to. It's always been a bar. And I've owned it since 91, but I never operated it. I rented it to individuals, and they operated it as a bar. And
so were you the one that started calling it the No-Name Bar?
Lewis Cazar named it the No-Name.
Okay, so the time he came down.
Yeah.
What was it called before that?
Carl's Place.
Okay, so still Carl's Place. It changed names, but it was Carl's Place.
Right.
When you bought it.
Right.
And then it got listed as the number one
country beer joint in Georgia.
Country beer joint in the whole state of Georgia.
The whole state of Georgia.
Lewis Cazar himself is the one credited with a
No-Name Bar.
No-Name Bar. And now it actually says that on the bar.
And I understand there now then there's no names. There's one in Savannah. There's no names everywhere now, I understand. And they kind of.
But the original one right here in Willacoochee.
Yep. Right here in Willacoochee. The original No-Name Bar. It's a great place. And you know, I bought it, and my wife says, well, you've drank enough beer there, you probably need to own it. You know? You've drank enough beer there to pay for it, and that's probably right. I'm the reason, partly the reason they built the new Budweiser plant in Jacksonville.
Oh, really?
They had to do that to keep up with me.
Just to keep up with your drinking?
Yeah, I drank Natural Light, and ooh, boy. Man, I could sit here, and I sat right here in this office and drank a case. I mean, 24 cans of Natural Light.
All right, now you know we're recording this, right?
I know that. And you know, I guess you could call me a religious person. I believe in the Lord, and I believe in the hereafter, and I hope and pray that I go to heaven. But to be honest with you, I hadn't drank a beer in 17 years. Hadn't smoked a cigarette in 45 years. So I tried to clean myself up, and that hadn't been easy.
All right, I got a list of questions for you now that I'm asking everybody. So,
okay.
This is just about small town living in general. What are some of the greatest joys? Maybe not specific to Willacoochee, but what's some of the greatest joys about living in a small town? You mentioned you lived in the big city for a while when you got appointed by Governor Miller to.
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah.
What's the best about living in a small town?
Small towns are really, I think, is the heart of America. That's where America is today. I think it's in the small towns because they love their country. And in a small town, you know everybody. And everybody knows you. They know your wife. They know your youngins. They know you, whether your youngins are good or mean, you know. And a lot of times our youngins does things we wouldn't want them to do, but they do it anyhow. So I think mainly, Matt, is being able to know everybody and be their neighbor and to help one another.
What is something that Willacoochee is struggling with right now?
As I mentioned a while ago, housing. We desperately need new housing. I know that mobile homes are filling part of that need, but you really need stick-built houses where people can have, once you get it paid off, they got something that they've invested in that's worth something. A mobile home is great for 20 years, you know, but after that, it begins to deteriorate and you've got, still got a place to live, but it isn't like a stick-built home, you know, a real nice house.
There's a lot of discussion about rural development or the lack thereof.
Yeah. You
know, the Georgia House of Representatives actually formed the Rural Development Council.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
And so they've,
I used to be on that committee a long time ago.
And so there's all these discussions.
In fact, I was the first chair of that committee.
Oh, see, I knew some of the other things you've done.
A long time. Oh, that's been a long time ago, Matt. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts, I guess, on some of the struggles that just rural Georgia, and you could say rural America, are dealing with? What are some of the ways maybe you've tried to combat some of that in Atkinson County as the chairman and Willacoochee as the mayor? And what do you think, if there's any solutions, what is it that needs to be?
Well, there is a solution. And a lot of folks are just, I guess you could say, content with the way things are. But to be honest with you, and they want things to stay the way they are. I had a lot of people in Willacoochee felt the same way. Leave it like it is. Well, either way, it don't stay like it is.
That's right.
Things are going to change whether you like it or not, and there ain't nothing you can do to stop it. So I think that change is imminent, and you're gonna have change, you know. That's and you know, if these elected officials would get off of their tails, you know, and not be satisfied with just sitting in the position and holding that title, because you can take titles and buy a cup of coffee with $10 anywhere, you know, and titles ain't worth a toot. But what they need to do is get off of their tails and go and look for it. If they're interested and love their city or county like I do, Matt.
Tell me what makes Willacoochee so great and what sets it apart from other small towns.
Well, people in this town love one another. Of course, you've got some gossipers. And you got that everywhere, Matt. What's unique about Willacoochee, people, like I say, love one another. And, of course, I love the people in Willacoochee. I especially love my seniors. And the Senior Citizen Center, to be honest, we used to be the old Kirkland lunchroom at the Kirkland School in Kirkland, Georgia. And the Board of Education moved it up here, and I approached the Board of Education. They give it to the city. I had it moved for $1,500 in its present location today. Then I had some guy at Ben Hill Urban Tech, actually Jim Mills and Glenn White and another guy, redone it, and it's been used as a senior center ever since. Willacoochee is unique in that the people here love one another. You know, but again, now that's beginning to change with the influx of the Hispanics. But I think that we got some great Hispanic people moving into Willacoochee. In fact, when I was at the Regional Development Center in Waycross, I loaned some of them money one time to buy a restaurant. And, of course, they paid it back here in Willacoochee. But they never operated or run the restaurant. But anyhow, they're good folks, and I know them real well. But I think it's the fact that the people in Willacoochee love one another. You know, I got some great people here, and I love every one of them. Some of them not as much as the others, you know. But I love every one of them, and I think most every one of them knows me.
So in closing, give a pitch for someone why they should come visit, why they should come live, why they should come start a business all in Willacoochee.
Well, again, it's a great place, and it's a great place to live. It's located on a four-lane highway, which I fought with DOT to have it come through Willacoochee. We're going to bypass it out here at the Turpentine Steel and go around and come out down there about Lealeton. And I didn't like that. And I went to see the commissioner, Mr. Moreland. I said, Mr. Moreland, I said, we're supposed to build this highway to, it's a developmental highway. And I said, if you go around towns, they can't develop, you know. So he says, okay. And they were going to close it or open it out once it passed the old GNF Railroad, which would have wiped out that Shell station and the no-name bar. And I went to Mr. Moreland. I said, Mr. Moreland, it's supposed to be a developmental highway, and this is going to hurt us if you open it out and tear down all of these buildings. Well, he called upstairs and asked one of his guys, said, how much would it cost to leave the four lane together out to the city limits of Willacoochee? And the guy came back in about two or three minutes, told him, said it would cost about $13,000. You know, to open it up. He said, let's spend the $13,000. So they did, you know, and again, it's a great place to live, and I welcome folks to come and visit. The historic spot we got is what they call the McCraney Turpentine Steel right here. It's the only turpentine steel in Georgia that's in its original location that could be put operational today. And then we got one up at the Agrorama Center in Thifton. But this one is in its original location since 1936.
Wow.
That could be put operational today. All you got to do is get the resin, turpentine, and pour in the vat's still there. The furnace is still there. The cooper's shed is still there where they used to make the barrels and put them together. But you could visit that. And also, I think one of our premier attractions is the Alapaho River. As I told you, I was born and raised here, and a lot of people talk about the recreation department. And recreation is great. I love it. But I told folks, as I grew up in Willacoochee, my recreation department was in the Alapaho River swamp, you know, and we wasn't scared of snakes. And there's a stub or a thing that sticks up, a root that sticks up on a path going to where we young boys used to go swimming. And I bet there's a tub full of toenails on that stub where we stumped our toe, you know, and maybe tore our toenail off. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to work. And it's a great place for the Lord to love you.
So if someone came to Willacoochee and you could only have them go to one place, whether it's a historic site or something of recreation, if they could only go one thing, what's the most significant thing you'd want to make sure they went and saw or visited in Willacoochee?
Well, the most significant thing, I think, would be to do a walkthrough of Langboard. And that's amazing how they do that. It is amazing how they take them chips and build that board. This is that board right here.
The desk right here is made out of Langboard.
It's made out of the fiberboard. And it's heavy. It ain't light. That thing is heavy. Tear Langboard, and maybe the next would be the turpentine steel. Next would be our library, which resembles I wanted it to resemble a railroad. I wanted to build a small, when I come back, I wanted to build a small convention center here in Willacoochee. Mm-hmm. But I didn't stay long enough to do that.
I'm sure there's always more things you wanted to do.
Yeah, there were.
But it sounds like you got a lot accomplished in your time.
I did. But I created every industry here in Willacoochee. I had a hand in it.
So when you became the mayor in 1978, there was one employer, and that was the McCraney brothers.
McCraney brothers.
And when you left, there were more jobs
than there are
people living in Willow Creek.
Right.
Well, that's quite a statement.
That's quite an accomplishment, I think.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Futch, thank you so much for being part of the Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, Matt. I've enjoyed it. I hope it's a success. And to be honest with you, I've enjoyed my life. I've enjoyed my family. I love my son. I thank the Lord for letting me have him. He's healthy, but he hadn't produced me a grandson yet. And I'd like to see a Futch, you know, to carry on the family name. But maybe with the help of the Lord, we'll have one someday. I would like to see one, though, before I pass on. You know, but that's all up to the Lord, whether we'll do that or not.
All right. But, well, thanks for being a part.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, small towners, thanks for going down memory lane and listening to that very first interview we ever did for Small Town Podcast. We'll be back next time with a brand new small town as we continue our journey. Thanks, as always, to our season sponsors for helping us to pay for that journey. The Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcasts on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We'd really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.